wanted the best, you've got the best podcast. The hottest podcast in the world. The Chris Voss Show, the preeminent podcast with guests so smart you may experience serious brain bleed. The CEOs, authors, thought leaders, visionaries, and motivators. Get ready. Strap yourself in. Keep your hands, arms, and legs inside the vehicle at all times, because you're about to go on a monster education roller coaster with your brain. Now, here's your host, Chris Voss.
Hi, folks. It's Voss here from thechrisvossshow.com. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. We are the latest things that makes it official. Welcome to the big show. For 15 years, we've been bringing you the most smartest minds, the CEOs, the billionaires, the White House presidential advisors, the astronauts, the Pulitzer Prize winners, all the great, smartest people. We just did a fourth billionaire on the show last week. Be sure to check out that episode as well. Today, we have an amazing young lady on the show. Jossie Cornwise joins us on the show. She is the author of the newest book that came out November 26, 2023, The Love Ball Game, Embracing Yourself and Embodying Your Soul. We're going to talk to her about her amazing book, her insights, and her career, where she helps other people deal with some of the things that she went through in life. She is a master embodied soul coach, TEDx speaker, author, and transformational experience facilitator. She's had multiple experiences with loss, trauma, and adversity that have led her to dedicate her life to providing people with accessible tools that transform their challenges and live their dreams. Her heart-centered, intuitive, and joyful coaching style and laser-focused depth and breadth have helped thousands develop confidence, resilience, and resourcefulness. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm really happy to be here, Chris. Thank you.
We're happy to have you as well. Give us your .coms. Where do you want people to find you on the interwebs?
Okay. www.jossia, J-A-C-I-A, Cornwise, K-O-R-N-W-I-S-E. .com. That's the easiest way to find me, and you can follow me at Jossie Cornwise as well.
There you go. So give us your 30,000 overview of this book and what's inside.
Gosh, you know, The Love Ball Game is a book that had been inside me probably since I was about 27. I started writing it way back then and kept putting it on the shelf. I'd write pieces, put it on the shelf, and I kept hearing inside myself, you can't publish this until you have so marinated that when the world reads all of your story, first of all, you feel fantastic at the end of your story. I was waiting for the happy ending. Sure. And I wanted to be real, I didn't want to feel like an imposter when I put this out. So it took me a few decades before I got it out there. But what's in here is it's a combination of self-help tools combined with deep memoir and powerful stories that are inspirational, both for someone who's already been deeply inside their journey but still stuck at some point to free themselves, to get in their bodies and get rid of the stuff that holds them back from being their most resourceful, resilient, joyous self and living the dream they want. But I do that through some like really honest, authentic discussion.
There you go. And so it took a while for you to find the good ending there. So everyone likes a good ending in a book. And it sounds like you've been on quite the journey. So tell us about your growing up in life. Give us a little bit of history on yourself. What were some of the things that you went through that got you into the place you're at now?
Gosh, that's such a good question, a large one. So let's see. First off, I was born blind in my left eye. Everyone's born with some issue or other, but mine was like visible from the moment you're there. So immediately, you know, you start to receive unconsciously just the imprint of there's something wrong with you. So we all get that something wrong with you. I'm not special in that way, but it was significant in the sense that it was apparent and there was no way around it. People would say, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with your eye? You know, and so there was that early on. My father became ill when I was in my teens. My brother was hit by a drunk driver and killed when he was 17 and I was 19. He was my only sibling and my very best friend. Wow. And when he left this earth, he had a book that was published by his, he was three quarters of the way through writing. And his favorite author was Piers Anthony, who's a pretty famous science fantasy genre author who loved my brother's writing and loved the story and co-published the book out there. But that sent me on a journey. It shook up my entire worldview of life because you're not supposed, that's just not supposed to happen. And there's a bazillion things already happening inside me on my own personal journey. And then with that, I just launched me into seeking deeper ways of healing, of what's the point of this all, what's authentic, and really realizing pretty early on, like, I've got to find meaning and purpose here. I'm just not going to want to be here. And then I was a victim of a horrific and violent crime, which most people wouldn't still choose to be alive from. And that journey launched me into oh so many things. But even before that had happened, I had moved myself away from, I was going to be a English teacher because I loved writing. But what I really loved was people's stories. I didn't care about grammar. And so the grammar wasn't why I was there. I was interested in real talk, you know. And then I realized as I went deeper into my journey, I was meant to be a therapist. And then I went and I studied and I got my master's in counseling psychology. And right before I was going to test for the, I did all my hours, all the things. I was in private practice intern. And I started having understandings that I wanted to bring in movement and dance and breath work and coaching. And I realized I needed to shift from the traditional launching point of the therapist from my eyes at that age. I mean, perhaps it could have still been done, but at that time. And I moved into coaching and teaching breath work and dance and somatic tools. But all these things, there's so many other little and mini stories along the way, but those were some of the primary, you know, hard hitters.
There you go. And you know, it's interesting. We all go through trials and tribulations in life and how we respond to them, how we grow from them, and how we meet them and use them as tools to advance ourselves and make ourselves better. I mean, that's a really interesting story about life that we go through. So the title of your book is called The Love Ball Game. Explain to us, what is the love ball game? Is this like Monopoly or how does this work?
So funny. So many friends are like, why did you call it the love ball game? And most people are like, we thought it would be something about dance or the body or something like that. And I was like, well, actually, I had written a talk and I was talking about my failures in love. Like so many people can relate, divorces, breakups, not listening to our intuition. And as I wrote that talk, I found this perfect metaphor of striking out once, striking out twice, striking out three times. And realizing that in order to hit a home run, you had to really learn to become the love ball yourself. You know, we're all trying to win at this game, but really we are little love balls, all of us, already with the love inside us, wanting to connect and roll into other people to share that with. But instead, we're running around the bases. So if we're going around these bases and play the ball game, we want to know how to actually really not strike out at love, but to find a way into your own home run. So that was the metaphor I was playing with when I wrote it.
There you go. So the love ball game is in like a baseball analogy. I love it. Embracing yourself and embodying your soul. Yeah, I've been playing the love ball game for, I don't know, 30, 40 years or something. How old am I? And I always strike
How's
out.
How's it going?
I always strike out. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it's an issue. I think I hit a lot of foul balls. I think that's one. So tell us some of the stuff that you packed into this book that gives people the tools to better play the game.
Well, you know, part of what happens is so many people are on this journey to self-awareness and healing. And they're like, why do I keep, you know, I put all this money into therapy, into this practice, into this, and nothing's changing. And so a lot of what I do is I talk about the different levels we need to go through to embody change. And the first one is really starting to, you know, the basic one is, oh, you know, you get support, you listen, you learn to listen. But as basic as that seems, we don't listen to ourselves if we're not present. So I give tools about how do we get in the body to get present. And I also give all sorts of like meditations and practices and stories about how trauma, whether it's a minor trauma or stress, teaches us to be outside of ourselves. We're trying too hard to keep up with all the externals in life that we literally don't land in our bodies. And then when we've had trauma, it teaches us to leave our bodies to survive. So realizing that inside our body is all the wisdom we've been looking from everyone out there. And it's all there. And I teach practices that get you to get on track just by absolutely listening to your little finger or your hips or your breath or just taking those inward moments. And it really, the practices change everything.
There you go. I listen to my big toe.
No, I'm serious. Have you ever really, really listened to like how you are placing your feet on the ground? You know, you can walk around stomping through life. And if you don't realize you're stomping and you, oh, what if you ice skated? What have you skipped? Yeah. Like all these different ways of being changes how you see the world.
There you
even
go.
Practicing.
I used to listen through my middle finger, but I found that was kind of the problem. So I quit listening to my middle finger.
I talk about boundaries and anger issues too. I talk about rage release. I talk about how so many people have shamed anger, but it's an important emotion. And, you know, depending on the background you came from, if you had people blowing up, you usually do one or two things. You become someone who blows up, or you say, I'm never going to be like them. But the thing is that anger itself is a tool, because it shows us when we've been injured and we're not okay. And it's our alert system. So learning how to use that in a way that's helpful and healing and to ourselves and gives us information will actually impact how we can make connections with other people and move us towards good decisions in our entrepreneurship, in our life, in our friends, families, all of that.
There you go. And if I have a Taco Bell night, I end up having to listen to another part of my body, but we won't get into that. So,
about that too. There's healing there as well.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I'm lactose intolerant. So if I have milk, we're going to hear from something. So there you go. Not sure what that means. But so you talk about meditation and healing trauma. Trauma is so important to heal. You know, it's something where if people don't address it, people don't seek professional help, they don't get therapy, they just kind of like, well, I'm sure it'll work itself out eventually. It will destroy just through your whole life. Like, I've met people where they've never dealt with their trauma for most of their life. I might know someone personally, and they dragged it forever. And you can look back on their life and go, wow, yeah, that was dragging the whole time, and the effect it will have on your relationships, on everything, your quality of life. And so, you know, I constantly talk to people and we talk about this on the show a lot. You know, if you have trauma, please get help. Just like get help right away. Don't put it off. Don't drag it from I've seen people drag it from relationship to relationship and expect their partner to be able to fix it, and their partner is not equipped for that. And so, you know, healing trauma is so important. Any thoughts you have on that? I suppose you know.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the amount of trauma that one has, I mean, some people are like, oh, I don't need it. I didn't have any big traumas. But trauma is relevant for anyone, whether you had something very extreme or something you might consider a minor incident. How it impacts you inside can shut down walls inside you that you didn't even know were there, whether that's physical walls, belief systems about what you're capable of, reactions, fear and anxiety, repetitive nightmares, sabotage. So many people are off, like, you know, if you don't heal trauma, you're going to do one or two things. You're going to have PTSD. You're going to overindulge in something. You're going to overwork. You're going to overshop. You're going to sabotage intimacy, and you're going to be run by self-hate. You know, all of that stuff comes from somewhere. You're not crazy. You've been injured. And I think it's essential. I mean, I wouldn't be here literally alive if I didn't take this so seriously. And part of what I bring is this passion for movement and dance, because I tried everything, you know, as someone who was trained as a therapist, worked as a therapist, worked as a coach, I received so much help from all those things. But when I didn't learn how to safely move it through the body in a way that not only didn't have to take me through every single cycle of remembering, but actually released the emotion, released the movement, it opened joy and new neural pathways to freedom that I couldn't access even with all of that. So there's so many pieces to feeling safe in your bodies again.
There you go. I remember watching, it was the Oprah interview after leaving Neverland. It was the two boys who claimed, I guess I have to say that for court purposes, claimed to have been molested by Michael Jackson. And after the show, Oprah was doing the interview, and there was a guy who'd written a book who had been molested by a police officer. And he had kept it inside himself, the trauma of that, for most of his life. And it had torn him up inside. You know, he'd done alcohol and I think drugs and abused himself to try and deal with it. And it was like a poison inside of him, he said. He drew this analogy that it's a poison inside you. And until you let it out, until you address it, it's you know, it's like a snake poison, you know, inside of your body. You got to suck it out. You got to get it out of your, bleed it out of you, cut it out of you, whatever it takes. And until you can address that, it just festers like a poison inside you. And it was a good analogy, I thought.
It is like a poison. And what's strange is those different levels of toxicity. There's level one, where you start to drain the poison, you start admitting it, you start sharing it, and there's healing that comes from that. There's level two, where you start being able to talk about it and actually transforming it in your intimate relationships. And then there's level three, where you start to realize that toxicity has actually stopped you from believing in yourself, because trauma survivors imprint such negative stories and they go through life a little bit slower. And when I had the opportunity, I faced one of the people who violently raped, kidnapped, robbed, almost murdered me in court. And I had the ability to face him recently and talk to him and forgive him, because I saw that I had freed myself. And I, even in the process of that court process, I used my tools. I literally practiced what I preached. And what happened when I had already been living a successful life for a good 30 years since then. Mm-hmm. But when I released that with my breath, with my movement, with my feeling, and was able to honestly find compassion for this person, I launched, this book popped out of me. It had been stuck for years. I got a TEDx talk like that. All of a sudden, all these doors at a different level of success opened up. And I hadn't even realized I was blocking that. But there was that fear of something. Didn't even know what it was until I faced it. And so I'm not suggesting everyone needs to face their perpetrator. Mm-hmm. But in my case, at this moment, it opened the door. But I think what I'm saying about level three is sometimes there's levels where you're like, oh, I've already done that. I'm doing pretty well. But if there's some dream you are meant to be doing, like I always knew that I was meant to be larger. And I knew that there was something blocking me. And I couldn't figure it out. Larger on getting to reach more people is what the large is. Getting to touch more hearts. Here I had so much to offer. But, you know, being seen might have been the block. Really being willing to be visible with this story. And then this incredible freedom and opportunity opens up. So I guess I'm speaking to anyone out there who's listening that says, oh, I've already done therapy. I've done coaching. I've done dance. But are you living your dream? Because if you're not, it's still in there. And I want to encourage you that this stuff, you can turn poison into mana. You can make it pain into purpose, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love it. The beautiful part is when you go from being a victim to being empowered. That's and you're right. No longer the victim. You're the person who isn't controlled by it. You control it. And it sounds like that's what you're able to do in court. And you were able to evidently have a little bit of empathy, or at least understand your victim. And that puts you in that empowerment. I'm sorry. Sorry, I got that. I was trying to find the right words for this. I'm a little lost there. But that puts you in the power position where you are now the one in control. You're no longer the victim, and it becomes your story now.
And that's part of like this love ball game thing. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about that, that's where the points go. So it's like from listening to embodiment to taking action, and then to what you're talking about is directing your life. I had done all three, but the level of direction that I was needing to go to, that last rung in your dreamscape of you're in this body, you're born, you get to live your life, and you're either going to take it or not. It took me to that, like, oh, I'm completely in charge. I am directing. There's nothing left to fear. And that's such an incredible tool to get to, right? Beyond victimhood into thriving, I call it a sur-thriver, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then you can live your life. You don't. It's like an albatross that you move around your neck. And I love your analogy of it, where you talk about being free of it, and now you can live your life. And then you get into the self-love portions and the dancing and other things. How does dancing, breath work, and some of the other things you teach help people find themselves internally and improve their quality of life?
Well, if you are not comfortable dancing, there's a piece of yourself you're not comfortable with, period. And so I'm not asking everyone to get out there and dance in like groups with other people. I have courses and online information to help you learn how to do it yourself, because what you're doing is you're getting in your body. Dancing means you're getting free. So any story someone told you, you're bad, you don't look right, your body's not in shape, you're supposed to have moves, you don't need any of that for what I'm talking about. I don't teach moves. I teach you to find that uninhibited, honest to goodness feelings and joy and grief and rage, and move it through your body. Turn it into a dance. When you can't dance, not like good moves, when you can't feel free enough to be that, that means that innocent part of you is hidden. That little child, every child, you put on music, they go like this. You can't find a child who's not going to want to move unless they've been shamed early on about it, right? Or unless they have, you know, lineages of people who say don't move and they're already terrified from moment one. But, you know, that movement literally opens new neural pathways to joy and to freedom and to presence. And it also gives you information. So if you dislike a part of your body, dance is going to help you become comfortable with it. If you have judgments on how you look, then we need to go deeper into the inside. It's a feeling that we're going for. It's a feeling. It's you know, dancing like no one is watching is the kind of thing I'm talking about. Breath work is literally, right? We are breathing all the time, but our breath is our best friend. And if you don't know that, you're missing out on the best ally of your life. Because guess what your breath does? It stops and it starts when you're scared. And you have to listen to it. So if you actually notice what your breath's doing, you take a moment, you're like, you take a pause, you're like, why am I tensing up here? It's a director for you. It's the only thing that's born with you and leaves when you die. You can't count on anything better than that. And if you don't take time to be with it and get to know it, there's a missing out on information. It can resource you. It can get you more enlivened. If you're feeling low energy and you learn how to enliven yourself with your breath, you get energy back. If you're feeling anxious, it can calm you. It's this immediate thing that's happening in our body. And if you just move on past it, it's like you're not connected to the very source of your life. And so it's, I mean, that might sound all woo-woo to you, but it's pretty profound when you start to do simple things. Like if you just take 5 minutes and set your clock every day to say, breathing break. Middle of your workday. Boom. I don't care what's happening. 5 minutes of breathing. And you reset that way. Close your eyes. I guarantee you, you're going to start shifting how you're feeling and what's possible for yourself. I tell people to do the same thing with dance. One song a day. Minimum. Dance break. Wherever you are, shake it out. If you're feeling tense, shake it out. Put on a song that does it. If you're feeling pissed, shake it out. If you're feeling like you want to feel sensual, you're feeling stuck, just get on your sensuality. Whatever.
There you go. And I think there's a lot of data behind this too. I mean, movement and breathing and you know, resetting your breath. I mean, we all kind of do that when we're in different situations. So let's get into some of the offerings you do on your website, your coaching, looking over your website right now. Talk about some of the things that people can do to onboard with you, find out more about you, working with you, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. Well, right now, if you jump on and you just sign on to my newsletter, you have the option to jump into an online freebie where you can come and just be in a really sweet online dance experience where I take you through just exploring your body parts for an hour and some freeform dancing. And you can turn your camera off if you're uncomfortable. You just need to check in at the beginning and end. It's a sweet opportunity. That's the first thing. You can come and just meet me that way. I have an amazing 12-week course called Rise Up and Dance, and that's a whole 12 weeks of daily things that you can sign up for with dances and meditations, practices, journaling, weekly instruction, online group with me. So you can do this virtually. You don't have to be in town. I speak at events. I lead events, all sorts of settings. I have individual and group coaching packages. Dances and breathwork if you're nearby, retreats, all sorts. But I would say the first step is jump on my newsletter, get my freebie, say hello, follow me. So there's that Rise Up and Dance course. I have a 6-month Lead Your Love Ball Game, which is sort of the VIP member of this, which is a really, if you're ready to stop striking out at love, we have to first learn to love yourself and free your trauma up. And in that 6 months, you're going to have so many incredible practices. You're going to have personal coaching with me. You're going to have group experiences. You're going to have practices every single day and a personalized map to get you to some dreams. So I've got that. There's opportunities to just have a one-off with me and feel it out and have a clarity call if you're interested. All sorts of ways.
There you go. All sorts of ways. So the best way is to reach out, get on the list and all that good stuff. And then I know you also do some speaking events as well.
I do. Yeah. That's all, you know, it's been a speaking whirlwind just this past year. I've done some, you know, other kinds of stuff. I did a lot of teaching, but lately I've been on larger stages. That's fun. I've got one coming up in San Diego shortly and one in Chico. I've got a TED talk, an awesome pep talk. I was just on the thought leader stage. You can check out my YouTube for that or my TEDx talk my earlier tag talk, get a sense of me there too. That's me in a different kind of way than you'd experience as a coach, because mm-hmm. that's me sharing some of my story and doing it in that way that grabs an audience in a different kind of way than if you are working with me. So
there you go. And lots of great workshops I'm seeing here and different things. So anything more we haven't covered and touched on between the book and the work you do for other people?
Well, you know, I think the main thing I want to say to anyone listening is that I'm out here talking mostly because I want people to have hope. I want people out there who are so tired of feeling like, why do I stay stuck, to know that there's hope, because I have helped so many people who've been in experiences with therapists, with other things that have said, I just can't break through this. I give up. It's just never going to change. And honestly, I didn't know if I was going to ever be able to get to this level of my dreams either. So I get it from a deeply personal place. I get what that's like. And I really do have some unique stuff to offer, but not in a salesy way. I just want to give you hope that I am a joyful person after a lot of trauma. And that doesn't come from not sitting around moaning. It comes from deciding to try things. So inviting, if you have even a little curiosity, you know, like that you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be in shape. You don't have to be good in movement. You just have to want to change enough to say, I'm willing to be present. I'm willing to get out of my box, get a little uncomfortable, get a little goofy. Who's going to watch anyways? This is all mine. And try it. And stay steady with it. If you're really ready for something that's doable, reach out.
There you go. And I like this. There's a term you have I'm seeing here on LinkedIn called the Sir Thriver. What does that mean?
Well, it means I'm not just a survivor. I am genuinely thriving. And so many people feel like, oh, I'm a survivor, and that's the empowerment stance. I'm like, let's go further. We are Sir Thrivers. We can be thriving after surviving.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Overcoming adversity. Everybody has rain that falls. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, some more than others, but the challenges that usually people go through in their cathartic moments in life overwhelm them from whatever level they're at in life. And they seem like they're the only ones suffering through that. And I love how you talk about hope. Hope always springs eternal. I mean, it's something, it's one of the greatest things I think we have in the human experience. And, you know, being able to find that there are other people that have gone through issues, that have gone through challenges, sometimes more, sometimes less, but that you're not alone is really so important.
And what's crazy, I agree. I love what you just said there. We are not alone, right? It's so important to know that. And what's really crazy is people don't realize that actually more people have been affected by trauma than not. I mean, we live in a world, sadly, that's filled with a lot of adversity today. You know, it's everywhere. Trauma is not just for those people. It's pretty much the norm. And that's sad to say, we're all kind of survivors of intergenerational trauma. Our environment's got so much trauma in it. So without sounding all negative, because that's not what I'm trying to come across, it's more about like, hey, let's be real. It's not all fairy tale here, but we can make it our fairy tale. We can become like the heroine or the hero to our own story. And isn't that the ultimate love? Isn't that what we're looking for? That sense of victory in what seems impossible to be victorious in. And we get to redefine what that is. It doesn't have to look like anyone else's goals.
There you go. And once we do and do that on our own defining, like you said, then we get empowered and you're no longer the victim. It's now your story and you're empowered by it. And it's no longer, there's a whole different mindset when you're no longer the victim and you are the one in control of your life and your story. Thank you very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Give us any .coms and final thoughts as you want as we go out.
Just to again say www.jossiacornwise.com or www.jossiacornwise.riseupanddance. You might find something there as well. And follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'd love to connect and appreciate you listening to us today.
There you go. Thank you, Jossia, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Chris.
There you appreciate go. It. Order it up, folks, wherever fine books are sold. The Love Ball Game, Embracing Yourself and Embodying Your Soul. Available November 26, 2023, and all that good stuff. Watch for her forthcoming TED Talk, right? Coming up.
TED Talk has already happened, but I got a TED Talk coming up.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Go to goodreads.com, ForChessChrisVoss, LinkedIn.com, ForChessChrisVoss, ChrisVoss1 on the TikTok, and all those crazy places we're on the internet. Thanks for tuning in. Be good to each other. Stay safe. And we'll see you guys next time. And